Hey, welcome to our Intentional Living Center today. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. We're going to have a great 30 minutes ahead as we unpack what it means to live an intentional life with the folks in your life, the people in your life, the people you love, but are difficult sometimes, and you're really hurting. If you're a hurting person in a relationship, this is going to be a very practical half hour for you. So come on in and join the family. Speaking of that, I want to say a big thanks to Kendra from Gray, Georgia. Welcome to the family. Thank you for becoming a member. Bonita from Fort Garland, Colorado. Thank you so much. Larry from Grant, Michigan. And Caroline from Lapeer, Michigan. Just some of the folks who said, hey, I want to be a part of this journey with you. And thank you for joining us here at Intentional Living. Phone line is open if you have a comment on something you hear today. The phone line is open at 888-888-1717. Mary recently called the program. You may have heard her because we had a lot of response to what she shared. Let me just share what really got us started with some of the comments that came in, and then we'll hear some other comments, because sometimes maybe you got a person you love, but it's just a difficult, irregular kind of a relationship. So take a listen to Mary.
What it is my daughter has adopted another family as her family. I raised my daughter, and when we finally left the marriage, my children went with me, and when I moved, I lost my son to a drowning accident, and therefore I wasn't fully there for my daughter for a number of years, and I don't know if she holds it against me or what, but that seems to be what always seems to crop up. But she doesn't bring it up to me. That's the whole thing. These other people know all about things that happened or didn't happen in some retrospect.
Have you talked to your daughter about how you feel or about the...
I've tried, yes. And all I get from her is that I am jealous of these people. And my grandchildren are calling them grandma and grandpa. I don't get to see my grandkids like I'd like to because I have to share them with these outsiders, and it's not fair, and it's not correct, and I don't know where to go.
All right. Well, listen, Mary, we've had a lot of people respond to that. We got some people on the phone today who are going to talk about difficult people as well. Faith from Arizona left this comment for you.
Hi, this is Faith. I'm calling with regard to the mom because of the daughter taking in another family and kind of in their place. And I just want to let her know that I had a similar situation and decided to do just as Dr. Randy Carlson had suggested and just help develop a intimate relationship. You have to be humble, and it takes some time, but it really worked out in my situation. And now we're all close together, and we've got more family to love.
That works. Say, listen, sometimes it may not be as quickly as you think, but being intentional helps. Mike wanted to weigh in as well from Michigan to respond to Mary.
Hey, Dr. Randy, this is Mike from Michigan. I just wanted to comment back on the lady that called in about having a rough relationship with her daughter, and then her daughter having called some other people, mom and dad, and spending a lot of time with them, and it just sounded like she was really hurt. I just wanted to say, you know, one, I'm sorry that it's that way and that it hurts her. But I guess, two, realizing that that relationship that she has with them is probably helping her and helping those kids. So that being part one. Part two being Uncle Sam had me go away for a year and a half. And when I came back, I didn't hardly have a relationship with my little guy. It was a year and a half when I left, and three when I got back. And he didn't even want to be with Dad, didn't have anything to want to even be with me. And so I finally sat back and just went, you know what, I'm the one that left. It wasn't my fault, but you know what, it's still me that left. He's a little guy, he needed Dad there. And so I gave myself and him a year and a half. And I worked like crazy on that relationship, and now he's 16, and he and I are buddies. And I really love him.
Wow, that's a good reminder. Sometimes the question is who moved, you know, and in terms of a relationship, you want to make it work, you got to work it. It doesn't just happen just because of the genetics or the name. It isn't the way it works. Some of the closest relationships in the world have nothing to do with family. So if you want to have a close relationship with family, just because you're family doesn't mean you're going to have a great relationship. Just because you have an in-law relationship doesn't mean you have a great relationship. If you want it, you got to work it. That's really what it is. Maybe you have that in your life, a irregular person, a difficult person. We got callers who wanted to join in and talk about how they've worked through some relationship issues. We're going to get to those in a moment. You're welcome to share your comments on all this as well. 888-888-1717.
It's time to take charge. No more surprises. No more confusion. No more negativity or isolation. It's time to take charge of your Facebook experience with Intentional Living.
And intentional is the key word here. On Intentional Living's Facebook page, you can connect with Dr. Randy and other listeners. Post your stories, comments, and questions. Keep up with the daily shows, topics, and guests. You know, stuff you can do intentionally so you can grow and know you're not alone. Click like at facebook.com/intentionalliving.
I am Dr. Randy Carlson with another Intentional Minute talking about the top 10 list of making better decisions. Here's a question for you. Look 10 years from now, when you look back, will you be happy that you made this decision? So when you think about it, we spend more time planning a vacation than we do planning our life, planning for eternity. And if we can just project out into the future 10 years, put the date 10 years from today and ask yourself, when I look back from that date to this day, the decision I'm about to make, will I look back and say, that was a decision that honored God, that I'm thankful that I made? Now, you may be saying, hey, Randy, I've already made decisions I regret. Well, the good news is God is a God of forgiveness, a God of reconciliation and restoration. So be intentional as you move forward with your decisions. That's intentional living.
For more information and inspiration, go to theintentionallife.com.
And this is Intentional Living. I want to invite you to join me at a marriage date night, you and your spouse. How's that sound? From everyone, everywhere, you can do that. We brought the video equipment into one of our sold-out Love Your Marriage Night events that was filled with a lot of fun and interactive sharing, and it was an experience for couples where a lot of couples made important decisions for their marriage. And we put this down on a DVD, and we're making it available today to you. So if you want to attend a Love Your Marriage Night and never leave home, it's a date night filled with a lot of practical, intentional living help. It's our gift to you as you share your best gift for intentional living today. And I want you to know that your gift matters a lot here in this part of the year. Thanking you for your generous support. And so ask for it when you share the gift. Click on You'd Love the DVD and we'll get it to you. Love Your Marriage Night for your best gift. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. And we thank you for that. Okay, a lot of people want to comment on this this whole thing of irregular relationships, difficult relationships, how to honor people that maybe aren't all that honorable. And so let's get at it. We start with you, Karen. You're first in Michigan. Welcome to the program.
Hi, this is Karen. I'd like to comment on my mother. I have a brother that is mentally impaired, and I also had another brother who is 12 years younger than myself. So my brother that's mentally impaired was 2 years younger than myself, so I had to take care of my mentally impaired brother and my 12-year younger brother as well. So I became the mother of two brothers.
Yeah, sounds like it. And what kind of an experience was that for you? How that impacted you?
I was very jealous. I was very what do you want to call it? Mean to myself. I had low self-esteem. I hated my brothers because I had to take care of them all the time. I didn't have a childhood. I couldn't do the things that normal kids could do. I couldn't go out for sports. I had to come home from school and take care of the kids. Mm. You know, I was, you know.
Well, it says here it worked out. How do you look at it now?
After I got married and I was still having trouble with my mother because she still wanted me to come home. And, oh, by the way, I still had to come home, and I also had to clean the house and do the housework and everything else as well. I was basically Cinderella as well.
Mm-hmm. So how is it today for you, Karen? Sounds like it was difficult. But about today?
Today she had passed away, but before she passed away, I had come to terms with her. I took care of her for 2 years before she passed away.
Wow. So you've been a lifelong caregiver.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that when you say you came to terms with it, Karen, does that mean that you had to come to terms with it? Or are you really at peace where you are today, or are you still wrestling with this?
I still wrestle with it at times. But
yeah, I think I could hear that.
I'm going to counseling for it. And the counselor had brought me to understand a lot of problems that my mother had. So she was an orphan at 7 years old, so she never had to learn how to do all these things.
Mm. Yeah, and were you the oldest? Is that what you said?
Yes, I was the oldest, and she was the youngest of her family. So her oldest just threw her outside, so they didn't have to bother with
her. You know, I think, Karen, let me just say this to be helpful to other parents today. Or if you're raising your kids, be aware of this dynamic. It's easy to lay on the oldest child that sense of being the second parent, and they're kids, and you got to let them be kids and grow up and be responsible, but not overly responsible, not to the place where they're fitting in and taking a job that they were never intended to take. Okay, Karen, listen, we're going to be praying for you. I got some other people want to join in on this too. Let me move along, but God bless you for your call. Amber is in Kansas. Go right ahead. What's your question, Amber?
Hi. I don't know my particular question. I'm struggling with understanding what does it mean to honor your parents. I don't know that's, I'm trying to discover that word.
Mm-hmm. Is that hard for you to do? I mean, you have some feelings that are negative toward your mom and dad?
Yeah, just that, like, the relationship that I want, they're not together, they're separately, but I do have trouble with both of them for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But I just really want, you know, like that healthy relationship with my parents, and I don't know. I feel like they still see me as, you know, like you're a child. They see me as the mistakes that I've made as a child when I was under their care, and they don't see me as the mom I am now, the wife I am right now.
And that's important to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. How old are you now, Amber?
I am 32.
And so you think your parents still see you as that kid, and you haven't, like, in their eyes, you haven't grown up and overcome some of the things that happen when you're a kid. And that really damages your feelings toward your parents?
I just want them a little bit, because I want them to know who I am. And I feel like even as a child, they didn't know who I was. They just saw the mistakes.
Let me ask you this, Amber. You want them to see who you are, or do you really want them to not only know who you are, but you want them to respect who you are?
Yeah. And if I try to say anything, comes off as, well, you're being disrespectful to me, or you're hurting my feelings, or things like that.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things, Amber. Let me say a couple things. One is, hurt people tend to hurt people, and your parents, based on what you're saying, sound like there might be some immaturity factors there, and you're playing the games that you did when you were kids, and it's time to grow up. And I think it's going to be tough for you, Amber, in terms of understanding that you may never get the approval from your parents that you want. They may not be capable of it. I think sometimes people have to accept the fact that we may not get the acceptance from our parents or from people that we want. And if we continue to beat our heads against the wall when we're in our 30s and 40s and 50s trying to get approval from someone we're never going to get it from, we only hurt ourselves.
And so I think a couple of things, Amber. You sound like a tender-hearted, caring mom. Sound like you're really doing a good job, and you've grown up and you've changed, and you want your parents to see that. You know what I'd say to you? Just live it. Just be that. Just be that person. Just let them see who you are. And if they get it, great. If they don't, pray for them. You got to let it go. And I know that's not easy because it's an emotional thing when you want the approval. Listen, when my dad was 70, I wanted his approval. He's in heaven. Still want his approval. I think that's part of the process that we have with parents. There's always this sense of an undercurrent of we want to be accepted and approved and from the most intimate of relationships in our childhood, and that's our parents. But you may never get it from mom or dad, Amber. And to the extent that that's never going to be there, you're going to have to let that go. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because you sound like a real tender-hearted mom. Sound like you're doing a good job. Are you proud of what you're doing as a mom?
I feel like I'm doing my best. I know I'm not perfect, but.
But are you doing a good, Amber? Are you doing a good job as a mom?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I don't know you, but just what I hear is you got a tender heart. You're doing a good job. You just want your mom. You would melt if your mom or dad said, "Amber, we're proud of you."
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't heard that. And let me ask you, do you think your mom and dad are capable of ever saying that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So.
And I don't know your parents, so I don't want to judge them. But if you're 30-some and your mom and dad have never said that to you and you've been doing a good job, then maybe it's something on their problem more than you in terms of just being who God's intended for you to be, and you pray for them. When you ask the question, how do you honor? Sometimes you honor someone by just taking all the things you learned and then unlearning all the things you shouldn't have learned and then being the person that you know you need to be. And in the process, you've honored your mom and dad by being more than maybe they even intended for you to be. That's intentional living. Okay. Thank you, Amber. Can we get Tina on here? Let's go. Tina is on the line. Is estranged with her mom. Here, Tina, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. What's your comment?
Well, I am estranged with my mother for about 6.5 years now. And we had tried to rebuild a relationship after having a rough go. She abandoned me when I was about 14.
Mm.
And I tried to rebuild that relationship and let her back in my life when I started having children. But it came to a point where I just had to say enough is enough. And I basically just sat down on her bed and I said, I love you. You're the mother that God gave me. And I will always love you for that. But I can't let you hurt me anymore. And this relationship is really damaging who I built myself up to be. And I can't do this. So my husband and I helped her get into her own place and get her stabilized in herself because she was living with us. And then she decided she was going to go live with my brother on the East Coast. And at that time we were in Oregon. And so we helped her do that. And I've tried to keep the lines of communication open, and I've tried calling her, and I'll call on birthdays and holidays. And, you know, I have a family of my own that's very busy. So I probably don't call as often as I could, but when I do call, it's always, okay, well, talk to your brother or here, talk to somebody else. And my son lives over there with my brother. He's trying to do some other things. And my brother's just in a better position to be a better mentor for him. And so, you know, here, talk to your son. And I'm like, okay. So I talk to her for 30 seconds and she pushes the conversation off to someone else.
Now, do you think that's due to your conversation that she's hurting from feeling cut out of your life? Or is that just your mom?
A little bit of both. She's always been a little bit estranged and distant from me, even when I was a child. We didn't have really a mother-daughter relationship. We didn't do things, you know, we didn't have the mushy-mushy relationship. If I was hurt, it wasn't come here, let me cuddle you. She had that relationship with my brother. I was the oldest, and I grew up to be tough.
Yeah.
You know? And so,
well, what kind of a relationship,
okay,
what would you like as a relationship? Because on one hand, I hear you saying, mom, I can't let you hurt me any longer. And you put a boundary in place
And then I hear you saying, I'm calling her and I'm not really getting what I want, what I expect. And so are you clear on the relationship you would like with your mom?
Well, I really have just left the lines open for her so that she knows that if she wants a relationship, that there is a boundary line there.
Yeah.
You know, we can't cross that line where you are living in my home and, you know, you're welcome to come visit, but you have to go home. You know, you're welcome to be a part of my children's lives, but your input on how they are raised and how mm-hmm. we are doing on taking care of them and what we're teaching them, you weren't there to put that input into my life.
Yeah.
And so it's not welcome in there. You can be their grandmother. You are welcome to come and be that role in their life, but I'm going to put some clear boundaries on that.
Can I give you an observation, Tina, of just what I'm hearing?
Absolutely.
And, you know, we're big on boundaries. You have to put boundaries in place. But when we put a boundary in place, and it's as firm as you are, you sound like you are. You said you grew up tough. You're a pretty tough person. I think that was a word you used. You're very clear on what you want. You communicate very clearly. You were clear with your mom. I want to put boundaries in place. You can do this, but not this. You're very clear. Your mom may not be as emotionally advanced or mature to deal with that, not knowing where these boundaries are and what that means. And she's taking it internally in terms of, hey, I don't know how to deal with my daughter. So when you call, just hey, you talk to your brother. And I'm just wondering, Tina, because here's the thing. I believe this and I've seen it. The weakest person in a relationship always controls the relationship. And if your mom is the weak person here, because you're strong, she's maybe feeling, maybe there's a control factor you're wrestling with in that relationship. Can I encourage you to take the lead with your mom in a maybe a tender way and just reach out to her? Connect with her in some ways that might encourage her that she's unexpected, inviting her to come and spend time with you or go visit with her or whatever, send a gift, but do some things that become a gesture of not more boundaries and rules and things, but just, mom, I love you and I want you to know I care for you. Now, maybe you are doing that at some level, but I would just encourage you to think about that, pray about that, and be very intentional in reaching out to mom. What do you think?
Okay. I know my daughter has a relationship with my mother that is much better than mine. She's getting ready to turn 11. And I know that she really wants her Nana, they call her Nana, in her life. And that is what's encouraged me to try and provide that for her.
Well, that might be a simple thing as just saying, Mom, I want you to know you're doing a great job with my daughter. She really loves you and love spending time with you, and I'm so glad that you're in her life. Man, you know what that could mean to your mom? That might be a really important touch point. Let her know that maybe your relationship isn't everything you'd like, but boy, it's going well with my daughter, with your granddaughter, and I appreciate that. Just some thoughts for you, Tina, from Intentional Living.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
As we're talking about love habits of couples living on purpose, if they have children, they get on the same page in parenting. This is a really big deal. What I wrote down here, after I thought about it, is parenting and some of these major issues in our life, our faith and in other areas, it elevates and reveals our expectations. And you've heard me talk about expectations minus reality equals disappointment. That is a life formula for everything. And in marriage, when we have kids and we're raising our kids, but we're not on the same page with how we want to raise them, and there's tension in that, you know, in that area, it creates this expectation problem. Because the expectation is we're going to be on the same page. And when those things are not met, that creates tension in the marriage.
Love habits of couples living on purpose. It's for members only. It's the coaching CD teaching for this month. If you're a member and you've asked for the monthly teaching, you should be receiving it every month.
And if you're a member and not, and you're thinking, hey, I should be receiving that, let us know and we'll make sure, because sometimes members say, hey, we want to support you, but you can send the CD to someone else to help another family. But make sure it comes to you. If you're a member, watch for it. If you're not and would like to join us today, be a part of the Intentional Living family, come and join us. Go to theintentionallife.com. Your monthly support will make a difference, and we'll make sure you start receiving the teaching ASAP. Go to theintentionallife.com. Okay, Paula, I think we have time for you from Kansas. Thank you for waiting. What's your comment for us today?
I speak from a position of I've been the person on the, I've been the difficult person, and I've had difficult people in my life. And I've been in recovery for 26 years. And some of the things that I've learned that helped me with someone who isn't behaving the way I think they should behave or isn't giving me the respect or whatever I think I deserve or I want or I need. I have to look at it from the standpoint of what other people say or do and how they behave in the world tells me everything about them and nothing about me. I have to remember that it's not all about me. The world doesn't revolve around me. And if I can get in the standpoint where I'm trying to think what might be going on in that person's world, are they treating me this way out of a position of fear or anxiety, you know, I can look at them with a little more patience and tolerance. And the other thing that has helped me is anything that I allow to take up headspace between my ears that I obsess over, I worry over, I stew over, I have essentially taken God off of the throne of my mind and put that person, place, or situation in, up on the throne instead of God. And when I do that, I don't allow those people that I have put on the throne that obsess my thoughts to be human. And so I expect them to be superhuman or to behave in a certain way rather than accepting that they are human and flawed and fallible just like I am.
That's a powerful reminder, Paula. You obviously have learned a lot of good stuff there in your process of recovery. I think of two passages, the one that says, take captive every thought out of obedience to Christ. That's a good thing to do. And then where Paul says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It does happen here between our ears, in our minds, and our thinking can really mess us up. Good reminder. Thank you, Paula. Good cap for the program today. What do you all think? What have you learned? What have you heard? What would you say about the difficult relationships and how to be intentional? Join us on our comment line. We love hearing your stories. And by the way, if you have a question for me that we could focus on in an upcoming program, something that you're struggling with, you say, how can I be intentional in this area of my life? Give us a call. Leave it on our comment line. 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. Appreciate it. Thank you, Rob and Stephen and Sally, for your help behind the controls there. And we'll see you next time from Intentional Living.